Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
For the mighty things you are doing in our midst. We bless your name. Lord, the glory is always yours. And we thank you for the men you are raising. We thank you for the great things you are doing. Help us, Lord, to continue following, submitting, and learning from you, even as your name keeps getting glorified and lives are being transformed. Tonight again, we bless your name for what you will do, and we ask that you take the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, when we started, like I told you, I came with a lot of strategies and lecture notes on what to do, but the Holy Ghost told me to suspend most of those things. So all the publicity stunts I came with, all the strategies of expansion, God said, wait. He said, this is an apostolic work. In an apostolic work, you are not looking for strangers. You want to raise people. People that will learn the ways of God. It's when you are able to raise people that will now start publicity so that those people can also take care of those who will come. It was a burden, but the kinds of testimonies we hear, they really encourage. When you see a brother who has never prayed for anybody, is now praying for people, they are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see people praying, deaf ears are opening. Some of these young guys you see here, they go out, they are so brutal. Their faith level is so intense. They don't have shame. They are not cautious. They just make brutal declarations and strange things happen. Strange things. And you look at them, they are young boys. People are growing in God. And then we have strange testimonies of transformation, addictions breaking, doors opening. And I can assure you that more than 60% of these things, I'm not involved. When they organize their outreaches, I just hear. I tell them, okay, I will come for one day. They do the medical outreaches. I don't even go. I've never attended anyone. So many mighty things happening. Orphanage visitations. Widows outreaches. I'm not aware. If I'm working here in partnership with the Holy Spirit, maybe it's about 30% of what is happening. So many people doing extraordinary things. In just a period of 1 year, God is so kind. And some of these people, they've never done these things before. Never. Some have never even stood on the altar to hold the microphone. They don't think they are supposed to be on the altar. Even when they come to church, they sit at the back. But now they are filling people in the Holy Ghost, baptizing them, making declarations, giving prophetic words. It's so awesome to see men transformed. And so we know God will do greater things in the days to come. In the name of Jesus. Before I open the scriptures tonight, just to make an announcement, to bring the house into light of a very good news in my family. I've been very busy and so many things happening, so I didn't have time to handle this matter. But I'm sure by next week they will be here. My younger sister, who is also part of the choir, Sister Joy, will be getting married.
It's a body. She'll be getting married in Dunamis International Gospel Center in Makurdi come this Saturday. And so we will be on our way to Makurdi to celebrate that awesome union. Wow. What a moment. After their wedding, they will come to the house to be prayed for. Why do people get so excited during this period? Hallelujah. And so we'll pray for them after the wedding and encourage them even as they begin the journey of another phase. So congratulations to my family. This evening, I want to share with us very few keys that helps you to operate in the power of the Holy Ghost. It's a miracle service, and so we are trusting God to manifest himself in his power. A miracle service, like I tell you all the time, is different from a healing service. A healing service is when God particularly is addressing crises and contradictions related to the body and the soul of man. But the miracle service is a bit broader, because God is not just dealing with the crisis of the body and the soul. God is also dealing with circumstantial issues. And so when you come to a miracle service, you find healings and healing testimonies. But over and above healing testimonies, you find breakthroughs in every aspect of human endeavor. In a miracle service, 90% of the testimonies can be around open doors. And people will get married. Businesses will spring forth. A lot of things will happen. In fact, in a miracle service, anything is possible. And so this evening, I want you to open your heart, because people will be touched, some in their bodies, and some in their families, some in their businesses. Diverse things are possible. And so every time we come for a miracle service like this, we check with the Lord to find out which stream of power is he going to deploy to carry out these supernatural feats. It is our ability to discern what God is doing that provokes the unexplainable manifestations. Sometimes God goes through the gateway of revelation. As you bring the light of God's word, the power of God flows through it. The Bible said in John chapter 1 verse 4, it said the light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehends it not. And so when revelation comes, power is made available. Sometimes God uses the gateway of praise. As you honor the name of the Lord, he decides to show the magnitude of his being. And so the praise that goes up provokes the release of power. And so when you come for such services, God may decide to deliberately reduce utterance, because it's not a service of talking. It's a service of praise. And as you are praising God, things begin to happen. So there are many tributaries through which God opens up his power. And so this evening, in an attempt to reveal to us and to release the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to show us four gateways through which the power of the Holy Ghost is activated. The power is already in us, but it takes certain spiritual protocols to activate them. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, it said God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. However, it said what God is able to do is dependent on the power that is at work on your inside. That means your ability to awaken that power in you is what provokes the doability of God. So if the power in you is not at work, even though God is all-sufficient, even though God is sovereign, God may be limited, because he has decided to allow you to participate in the economy of the divine. And so he wants you to also feel what he feels. In order for that to happen, he said the heavens belong to God, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So he wants man to also participate in the league of gods. He wants man to also participate in the operations of power, the dynamics of the divine. And so he will allow man to take the lead, so he will validate it. It is this responsibility he has put upon us that makes us become very relevant in the equation of the operations of the divine. And so if you don't know these things, the power may be in you, God may be willing to do, but God will not be able to do. And so in this service tonight, God wants to visit us through light and illumination. As we understand these things and begin to engage them, we will see that God will begin to work in unexplainable ways. You know, when I started learning the way of power, the challenge I had was to rationalize how obvious mountains before me can be ignored. And God told me, it's not by looking at the mountain that the mountain lives. He says, by engaging the secrets that are made available to you, the power to move the mountain is locked up in the secret. If you activate the secret, there is something in the secret that is able to deal with the mountain. And that became a great deliverance for me. So when I begin to deal with mountains, I no longer bother their size. I found out the secret of dealing with them. For example, if I'm having issues with finances, I don't bother how much I need. How much I need may be in 6 digits and many 6 digits. What I do now is, instead of contemplating how those 6 digits will come, I go to the secret that makes money available. And sometimes I deploy covenant. When I give a seed to somebody that represents something in God, something is mobilized because I honor that protocol. And then what I'm looking for shows up. And so sometimes when I'm looking for money, what I'm saving is not enough. The little I have, I now sow it as a seed. Sometimes I even drop it on the altar. The moment that money touches the altar, there's an economy in the spirit that begins to cause forces to move to make the money come. He said, God will remember you from his sanctuary. And so what I now do is that I tie the mountain to the sanctuary. And so the sanctuary and the altar becomes the power that provokes what I'm looking for. Sometimes when I'm looking for money and the money is not coming, I go to the place of prayer and I begin to remind God of some of the things he said. I have honored the covenant. You say the dark places of the earth is the habitation of cruelty. Have respect unto the covenant. That means when I deploy the covenant, the power to overcome the habitation of cruelty is released. How come I'm tithing and offering and giving offering and giving seeds and nothing is happening? When I remind God like that, then the covenant is activated. That means the power to deal with my poverty is in the covenant. And so as far as I'm engaging the covenant, I don't have need to pray so much for the financial issue. He said, give a portion to 7. Give a portion to 8. You know not the evil that will come upon the earth. And so what I do is, I spread my seed. And as I'm spreading my seed, when I have need of finances, somewhere, somehow, a mystery is engaged. Some I don't even know. And the answer shows up. I'm a traveling person. I'm in Sierra Leone. I pray for different people with different orientation, with different belief system. Tomorrow I'm in Ghana. I pray for different people. Next tomorrow I'm in Kenya. You will need something to follow you to have consistent results. Because sometimes you can go to a place, the people are excited. Another time you go to a place, the people are trying to see what you want to do. When you say shout, they say shout. Why? When you are praying, they are looking at you like this. Okay, let's see what will happen. If you are traveling, it's like carrying a cross. Every day is a new day. The people don't care what God did yesterday, because what God did yesterday is not where they are. God did something in Ghana. They are in Congo. So thank God for what God did in Ghana. They want to see what God will do in Congo. So put your testimony of Ghana aside. Come to Congo and show God. Meanwhile, they believe that God will heal the sick. You now show up. And then what you deployed in Congo, you are now deploying it here. It's not working. So you need a lot of mystery to work for you. And so sometimes when you stand, God will now tell you, because you fear me, I will glorify myself. And so the reason God will heal in that service is not because you are anointed. It's because you fear him. Sometimes when you stand, God will now tell you, he gives you a word of knowledge. He said, there's somebody sitting next to the microphone, the speaker there. He has a challenge with his heart. The moment you say it and the person stands up, their heart will now open. God will begin to move. Sometimes when you stand, God will now tell you, sing this song. You will now start singing the song. Sometimes when you stand, God will tell you, pray in tongues first. You will not be praying in tongues. They won't know what you are doing. You are deploying different mysteries. And so, when God is now dealing with you in the area of reverence, it's not just because he wants to teach you reverence. That reverence will become your salvation when you are in a different country. When God is teaching you how to sow seeds, that seed may not just be to prosper you. That seed will be the reason why God will act where your faith will fail in a strange land. And so there are many mysteries that are put together to engender different dimensions of glory. And tonight, we want to look at what activates the power of the Holy Ghost. That means if you know this, the power of the Holy Ghost can work in your house. Because the power of the Holy Ghost is not for a miracle service. The power of the Holy Ghost is something we need to carry every day of our life in order to walk in consistent victory. Because if that power is not there, victory cannot be guaranteed. Before I show you how this power is activated and the provisions of scripture that activates this power, let me show you two things. Number one, how that if you don't have this power at work in your life, you are a victim. The reason is because God is not the only one who showed up. There are other spirits that also showed up. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it said, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So you don't need to do anything to be under attack. The reason is because a spirit has shown up and his intention is to destroy you. So the issue of power is not for fun. It's not for luxury. It's for your defense. Because whether you cause problem or not, there is a battle you will fight. The reason is because the devil cometh not but for to kill. So you don't need to do anything to be under attack. So long as you are born, you will be under attack. So if you don't have power at work in your life, in the day of trouble, you will faint. And he said, if you faint, it's not because your God is weak. It's because your strength is little. So he's telling you that everybody will fight. The question is whether you win or you fail. And that question is answered when you begin to know and deploy how to keep the power of the Holy Ghost at work in your life. He said, the devil prowls like a roaring lion, looking for who he may devour. So the job of demons, the way you go to work every day and you are doing a decent job to sustain yourself, the job of demons is to look for people to kill, is to look for people to destroy. And so what you need to do is to carry so much power that when they are coming, they advise themselves that don't go here. This place, if you go, you will lose. This is why you need power, because a spirit is moving to and fro the earth, looking for who to devour. The reason you will not be the one to devour is power. And so when you find men who are not being devoured, it's because the devil judged and discovered power is at work in their life. If power is not at work in your life, you will be a candidate to be devoured. Because the devil is carrying out a spiritual census, looking for those who have power and those who don't have power. If he finds those who have power, he will leave them. Hope you know, when the sons of Sceva showed up, he said, Jesus we know, Paul we know. That means in the syllables of the demonic realm, they know those who carry power. And so what they do is that they write their name in the spirit realm. Everybody know them. They don't approach them. So the people the devil devours are those that is already chronicled in their structure and syllables that they don't have power. And so if you want your name to be known in the demonic realm, the way you announce your name there is not by saying, I'm Michael. It's by power. Because when Moses came to Pharaoh, he didn't ask him the name of his God for a nomenclature purpose. When he said, who is your God? Moses dropped his staff. The staff became a snake. What he's saying is that my God is the God of power. And the way Pharaoh also responded is to call his wise men, and they too dropped their staff. When the staff of Moses swallowed the staff of the wise men of Pharaoh, they now knew who the God of Moses was. So the way you introduce yourself in the spirit is by power. And Moses showcased so much power that a point came, he became a god in Egypt. The way Moses dealt with Pharaoh is actually the way every man should walk on it. Moses will show up and say, let my people go that they may serve me. The God of the Hebrew have sent me. And Pharaoh will say, I won't. Moses will say, all right, since you refused, by this time tomorrow, frogs will visit and they will go. See, you don't negotiate with evil. You power them out of your atmosphere. Moses will go and rest And then Pharaoh will go and say, please come, we're about to die. Moses will show up again. He said, please, please, I change my mind. Okay, because you have, they will leave tomorrow. He will go. After they leave, Pharaoh will now say, I won't. So that kind of thing is not negotiation by mouth. It's negotiation by power. Because there's an evil in the heart of these beings that only power can humble them. No matter what you say, they will argue with you. But when power comes, it silences the argument. And so Moses will show up again and say, since you refused, by this time tomorrow, lies will visit. So Moses was sending errands. Since I'm talking and it's not making sense, I will send errands through other agencies. And finally, when Moses came, he told him, there will be a cry in Egypt, such as have never been heard. All the firstborn sons of men and beasts will die. And he told Pharaoh something. He said, you will never see me again. Oh, God of mercy. When will this kind of generation emerge? Now, Pharaoh is the strongest person on earth at that time. Moses came to him and said, you will never. That means my coming before you is a privilege. And because you have abused it this 9 times, this 10th one is the last. You will never see me again. And true to Moses' word, all the mighty men of Pharaoh drowned in the belly of the Red Sea. Because that night, when that plague came and everybody died, there was cry in Egypt. Pharaoh sent to Moses and said, please go, carry everything. And Moses went. And to show you that power is not only against wicked men, even nature will respect you only when you have power. When Moses was coming, there was a sea truncating and obliterating and impeding the possibility of crossing over. And Moses turned to God, and God said, why are you turning to me? There's a power in you. If you don't know how to use it, you are in trouble. He said, stretch your rod. And Moses stretched it. And Moses came back to tell us what happened in the spirit. Because God is able to do only when your own power is working. He said, with the blast of his nostrils, he parted the Red Sea. That means God would not have used the blast of his nostrils except as the power in Moses was at work. So the collaboration begins from the earth. And you won't know the strange things that happen. That's not a casual miracle. Many things happened there. All the whales in the water were stopped. The activity of the whales stopped. The water parted. And the water did not just part, it froze. That means temperature changed. The temperature of the environment changed. Because the water froze, it became a block, standing like a wall. And then those of you who understand about sea, you know that a sea is actually a pit. A sea is not a flat ground. I think it was Pastor Bolade that brought that revelation. That means the earth grew out too. So many things were happening at the same time. When that wind passed, when they crossed, the Egyptians, they thought it was a joke. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 2, it said by faith, Moses and the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. He said, what the Egyptians are saying to do, they were drowned. Because what was happening, Moses was in control of it. This is not a fluke. If he tells you tomorrow you will be blessed, it's not luck and chance. It's power at work. And so when a believer is talking, he needs to talk from power. When you tell somebody that this week a door will open, it's not luck and chance. Nothing happens by luck and chance. It's power that makes things happen. And so the reason you must know how to engage this miracle working power is because that is the only basis by which the voice of the avenger will be silenced. If you don't have power in your life, you are a victim. You are a prey. And the day of battle will reveal it. The second reason why the power of the Holy Ghost must perpetually be at work in our lives is because it is by power that God is glorified. Imagine if Moses wanted to start a school in Egypt to prove to the people that there is a God in heaven. Egypt was the school, the territory of philosophy and wisdom. The first civilization of knowledge was systematized and institutionalized in Egypt. You can't beat them. They are called wise men of Egypt. They were the first people that were addressed as the wise men. Wise men. Began from Egypt. You don't beat them with human intelligence. The only thing you can use to counter them is power. Because the language of power is simple and clear. It's either the blind eye open or it doesn't. It's either the deaf ears open or it doesn't. Power does not have ambiguity. Power is clear, is simple, and is short. And so the only way God could be glorified was when power was at work. In John chapter 2 verse 11, after Jesus turned water to wine, the Bible said, this be the first miracle of Jesus, and he did it that he will show forth his glory. That means when the power of the Holy Ghost is not at work, God cannot be glorified. He said, when I leave, he said, another comforter will come, and he will not speak what he knows or what he has heard. He said, he will tell you about me. He came to glorify me. And so the way God is glorified is when the power of the Holy Ghost is at work. And so the power of the Holy Ghost is necessary to ensure you from the rage, the wickedness, and the evil of this world. And the power of the Holy Ghost is also the only basis by which you can glorify God in a way that nobody can argue. If there is no power, our God can still be debated. But when power shows up, it becomes clear that one is superior to the other. The first revelation of God in the Bible is as a God of power. He said in the beginning, Elohim. The word Elohim means almighty. In the beginning, the Almighty created the heavens and the earth, because God needed power to create a distinction between him and everything that is created. This is why the Holy Ghost came to furnish us with power. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it said, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost, and not wisdom, and not utterance, and not favor. You shall receive the Holy Ghost and power, because everything is in power. Wisdom is a type of power. Utterance is a type of power. Healing is a type of power. It's just the way we have light here now. This is power. This amplification of sound is power. This light is power. The AC working and producing cold sensation is power. Light is wisdom. This volume you are seeing is what creates. All of that is a type of power. And so when power shows up, everything shows up. And so the Holy Ghost came, amongst other things, primary among other things, to manifest the power of God. And you need that power because your insurance is tied to power, and God being glorified in your life is also tied to power. Now, before I show you how to activate this power, let me also show you quickly two broad things the power of the Holy Ghost does. Because the power of the Holy Ghost is not just for people falling down. The reason people fall is their response. There are people who will never fall. The sign that power is present is not the falling down. The falling down is the response of those falling to power. There are others that when power comes, they enter inspiration. Wisdom just comes for them to do something. They just know what to do. So while somebody else is falling down, another person is knowing what he should do. Another person under the influence of God's power will begin to repent. Another person under the influence of God's power will just become excited. So there are different manifestations to power. Falling down is not the only manifestation. It's one of the many manifestations. And I can tell you authoritatively that most times the reason people are slain is either because they are distracted. God can't get their attention. So the same way he slew Adam in order to be able to take his rib without distraction, he had to slay certain people so that they will not be distracted. And then sometimes the reason people fall under power is because they are not used to that bandwidth. Because as you start working with God, you will discover that the energy levels of God are many. And one day I will teach you about power, and then I will talk to you about energy levels in the spirit. Because power is not the same. The first time the disciples received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. That's an energy level. After they spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 2, when you go to Acts chapter 4, they were not just speaking in tongues anymore. Miracles began to break out. Evangelism, the hearts of men were pricked. Evangelism began to break out. Healings began to break out. As you go further, the dead started coming back to life, because power is a different energy level. And so somebody who has not taught high voltage, when it comes into a service, when the anointing becomes heavy, it's just like connecting 40 volts to a 2.4 volt wire. The wire will melt. So the reason the people fall under the anointing is because they are connected to higher volt than they are experiencing. or that they experience in their personal life. But power is for greater purpose than just for you to be slain. In fact, when you are slain because God wants to do something. So it's what God wants to do that is the major issue. You know, when you are a young minister and you are preaching, you are more interested in seeing people slain. When people are slain, you now rest that, God has shown himself. But when you start getting mature, when people are slain, you now try to find out what God is doing. Because that's when God can work. You now insist that God should do what he intends to do. If not, they will fall and rise up and remain liars, fornicators, poor, sick, helpless. And if they remain in their condition, it means the slaying was a waste. So when you start getting mature, you will not be so excited when people are slain. You will rather be excited to see the transformations that come when people are slain. Because in that state of slaying, God is working. Having said that, let me outline two broad reasons or two broad things that the power of the Holy Ghost does. Number one, the power of the Holy Ghost comes to resurrect. On account of the fall, man is journeying in the direction of death. He said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That means naturally, everything we are doing is traveling in the direction of death. As you are growing older, you are actually happy that you are growing older. But even biological science will teach you that the older you get, the closer to death you become. Because what you call growth is cell division. And every time a cell divides or a new cell is created, the old cell can never be like the first. So when a new cell is produced, maybe you have cell A. If cell B is produced and cell A dies, cell B can never be like cell A. When cell C is produced and cell B dies, cell C can never be like cell A. That's why over time, your strength begins to reduce. Your glowing skin begins to age because the cells that are produced can never be like the ones that produce them. So man naturally is journeying in the direction of death. And so the Holy Ghost comes to engender resurrection. When the power of the Holy Ghost is at work, what it does is that it alters the protocol of death, and the alteration to the protocol of death is transfiguration and resurrection. And so in Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, New Living Translation, if we have it, let's read it quickly. The reason I explain these things is so that when you receive, you will know how to deploy it. So you don't just have feelings and excitement. He said the good news is about his son, that is Jesus. He said in his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line. And then he went further. And he said he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Ghost. He is Jesus our Lord. So what the power of the Holy Ghost came to do was to provoke resurrection. So when Jesus died, what brought the dead body of Jesus back to life was called the power of the Holy Ghost. You see the same thing in Romans chapter 6 verse 4. And so every time the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon a man's life, what it provokes is resurrection. This is why as a Christian, things don't die in your life. When we begin to make decrees over people, actually what we are trying to occasion in their life is the protocol of resurrection. Somebody can have a job. The devil will bring a program of death. When that person loses that job or that job fails, it is death at work. And so when you make a declaration and that job is resuscitated, is another program called resurrection taking place. When somebody is sick, his cells begin to die. When you speak and power touches that person and the person is enlivened, is resurrection at work. And so the reason we are dealing with the subject of the power of the Holy Ghost is to know how to deploy this power. So when you come into your family, you will insist that nothing that looks like death will find expression here. If you come into your business, you will insist that nothing that looks like death should come there. Because it's not only men that die, businesses too die. Families die. organizations die. And so the power of the Holy Spirit does not only resurrect men, it resurrects dead organizations. It resurrects dead institutions. But if you don't have that power, you won't know what to do. I told myself, nothing around me will die. I use it and give it to somebody else to use. Because there is the power of the Holy Ghost in me. The power of the Holy Ghost in me is not just for speaking in tongues. The power of the Holy Ghost in me is to progressively and consciously engender resurrection. And so when you come to me and something is wrong with you, because I'm conscious of that power, I can speak to you. The circumstance we hear, because that power is life, it resurrects. When things are going wrong in my life, before I take any action, I speak to it, because I must administer power first. But there are many people who don't know why they have the power of the Holy Ghost. They think the power of the Holy Ghost is just to speak in tongues. And when they speak in tongues, they glory in speaking in tongues, and that is it. No, the power of the Holy Ghost comes to engender resurrection. You can use that power to quicken an order of life in your family, and there will be joy, there will be prosperity, there will be excitement all day long. Even the devil will be confused, because you can sustain your family by power. There is a kind of joy that a family will never have unless there is power. Because if there's no power, the devil will diffuse that joy through many circumstances. It will take power to keep joy in a family. It will take power to keep a family blossoming. But many people either have this power, they have not activated it, or they have this power, they don't know how to bring administration to that power. The power of the Holy Ghost comes to insist that nothing dies. I decree over somebody tonight, as you walk out of this service, nothing in your life dies again. You can wake up and awaken all your relationships, relevant relationships. There are certain things you need. The person who should bring it is not in contact with you. And if that person doesn't wake up, that thing you need will not work. What you need to do is to administer power. You will go to your room and deploy power. Wherever that person is, he will lose his peace. He will go and look for your number and reach out to you. Even he will not know that it's resurrection that you are programming. And so that relationship that is dead, you can awaken it by power. And when the person shows up, that thing that should have been a burden in your life, the person will do it in a day. And then you are wondering what is happening. It is power at work. That's how we administer the power of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you have a business, the business is dying. You show up and you say, in the name of Jesus, I give life to this business. I decree that resurrection comes upon this business. Everything this business needs in order to come alive, I release it, and you'll be shocked. People, connections will wake up. Finances will start coming. You don't know what has happened. Power has been effectively utilized, because the first way to administer the power of the Holy Ghost is to engender resurrection. The second way to utilize the power of the Holy Ghost is to provoke fruitfulness. There are certain things that are alive, but they are barren. The guy is intelligent, but his mind cannot produce enough to even sustain him. A first-class mind is dying of poverty. That is a barren mind. The guy knows everybody, but his relationship does not translate to his benefit. Rather, every time that relationship is awoken, something out of him. That relationship never improves the quality of his life. That's a barren relationship. And so, the second thing power does is that power makes fruitful. In Luke chapter 1 verse 35, when the angel of the Lord came to Mary, he didn't say anything else or other than power will happen. I know you are a virgin, but there is something in power that provokes fruitfulness. And he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. He said, the power of the highest shall overshadow you. And he said, that being that shall be formed in you shall be called the Son of the Highest. That means that being was formed by power. And so the money may not be there. The influence may not be there. Power has the ability to form it. Because within power, inherent within power is the capacity for fruitfulness. Everybody hearing me tonight, every barren area of your life, fruitfulness comes there now. Have you not seen people with big organizations? At the end of the year, they are running in deficit. A multi-million naira organization. Every year, when they do check and balance always is in the negative. Millions are transmitting, but there is no fruitfulness. And he will do that business. After 10 years, he becomes a shadow of himself. Business, very active and viable, but not productive. You need power to be added to that business. When power comes there, there is a protocol of fruitfulness that power engenders. And so the reason we are looking at the power of the Holy Ghost tonight is to awaken a consciousness and bring you into the experience of resurrection and fruitfulness. And so after this service, because of what you will receive and because of what you will deploy, you will know that nothing around you dies. And you will know that anything you touch prospers. In Psalm 1 from verse 1 to 3, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Verse 3, it says, on this law doth he meditate day and night. He said, he is like the tree that is planted by the rivers of living waters. It produces its fruit in its season. And he said, its leaves will never wither. There are people whose leaves never wither. There are people that produce fruit in their season. And I'm bold to declare to you, under this unction, you will never wither again. You will produce your fruit in your season. You are like a tree planted by the rivers of living waters. The moment you receive the Holy Ghost and began engaging the Holy Ghost, you became like a tree planted by rivers of living water. This is why we are not afraid of tomorrow. Our Redeemer liveth. There is something in my life that makes tomorrow greater. That's why I said the path of the just man is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. People like us are not moved when you curse us. It won't work. I don't need to pray about it. It will not work. There is a superior technology on my inside, a technology of resurrection and a technology of fruitfulness. If you are hoping that we go down, you are about to give yourself high blood pressure, because you will keep seeing glory upon glory, because it's from glory to glory, it's from grace to grace, it's from realms to realm. I decree over you from today, your prosperity is from glory to glory. This is why you need the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said in Genesis 22 verse 1, it said Abraham was old and well stricken in age. It said, but the Lord had blessed him in all things. At old age, the man had all things. So we don't grow old and wither. We grow old and prosper. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The company is one today. Tomorrow there will be five. Next tomorrow there will be 25. Because it's not arithmetic progression. It's geometric progression. It doubles. It's not addition. It's doubling. If it's one today, it's two tomorrow. It's four next tomorrow. It's 16 the other time. That's what the Holy Ghost comes to do. This is what informs the kind of boldness that we have. People will look at you and mistake it for arrogance. It is arrogance if you think you are the one doing it. But if you know it is the God in you that is doing it, then there is no arrogance in it. It is explosive and violent faith. How can they tell you you will fail? Me? No. I have to be trained on how to fail. Because whatsoever I do, it shall prosper. Whatsoever. If I stop preaching today and enter politics, you'll be shocked. If I stop preaching today and enter business, you will be shocked. Because it is power that is making it happen. We didn't show up here in 1 year and everything is springing up. It's power. The light alone is in millions. It's power. Because wherever the money is, the power will find it. And then you think we are in a rush. Wait till next year. Because from next year is land and building. We are not even renting. It's power. Where men take one step, you take a thousand. It's called power. Where men are running, you are flying. It's called power. That's the part of the just man. It's as a shining light. And it's not a prerogative of preacher. It's a prerogative of everyone that has the power of the Holy Ghost. I decree over you today, become a wonder to your generation. You will become the standard through which they will measure success. You will be the one. When next somebody is prospering, they will use you as a measuring tool. They said it takes 5 years for people to be established. You now take 6 months. They are now wondering, how is it happening? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. And when it's overshadowing you, something must be formed. When you set targets, don't be afraid. It's power that will bring it to pass. You started a company this year, tell yourself next year they will be in the 36 states. It's power. It may take another person 10 years. It doesn't mean you will take 10 years. Somebody else will take 10 years. You will take one. It's power. It's possible. That's why it's a mistake when you measure your life with another person. Because you don't know by what economy he's operating. Your case is different. Your case is different. Your case is different. They say you must be 30 to be a millionaire. At 22, be millionaire, not in naira, in dollars. They say you must be in ministry until you are 45 before you are established. At 24, be established in ministry. When you stand, people should look at you and say, Kai, this guy is a small boy. How is he doing it? Then they will see the glory of God. His power. You were created for power. You were winged for power. You were formed for power. You represent power. You are defined by power. Your dimension manifests by power. You move by power. Everything you do succeeds by power. You are a being of power. Why do you think Jesus will not go? He said, tarry until you are endued with power from on high. I know I have taught you wisdom, but wait for power. Wait for power. It's power that will substantiate your wisdom. Else you will talk. People will say, okay, have you finished? But when you talk and power shows up, they keep quiet. I decree over you today, your inheritance from today is power. Yeah. It's not human connection that will make you go to the nations. It's power. It's power. When the power comes, everything becomes possible. It's got the power of the Holy Ghost. It resurrects and it makes fruitful. Somebody will become fruitful. Somebody will multiply. Somebody will replenish. Somebody will subdue. Somebody will have dominion. Who told you you are limited to Nigeria? That business you are doing, before this year is over, you will have connection across the nations of the world. It's not only from China they import. It's not only from Italy they import. It's not only from the United States they import. You will make something that will be exported to the world. Sit down. Four ways of activating the power of the Holy Ghost. Number one, fasting and prayer.
there, oh my God. There are things that happen to you beyond your prayer request. Sometimes the Holy Ghost comes to you. He said, go on 40 days fast. You finish. He said, go on 90. You finish. He said, go on 120. You finish. That kind of fasting is beyond, Lord, I need a breakthrough. He is opening the fountains of power in your spirit. When you are done fasting that fasting, you will be shocked. There was a time in my life where I fasted every day, morning to evening, for 5 years non-stop. No answer to any question. I was doing my master's and fasting. I went to the exam hall the other time. I almost died. But the Holy Ghost won't let me stop because he saw today. He knew I would go to nations. He knew millions would depend on me. He knew warfare will come from different angles that I may not even have utterance to pray for. And so he cooked me in power, waiting for the day of manifestation. Power! Your fasting is beyond, I'm trusting God for something. After you get that thing you are trusting God for, there is something else that is beyond trusting for. That thing is the real answer. It's called power. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 1, he said the spirit drove him to the wilderness. Jesus was not asking God for anything. He is the creator of the world, but he needed to awaken power in the spirit. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In him was life. The life was the light of man. He was with the Father in the beginning. All things were made by him. There was not anything made that was made, but he was now in the flesh. And now that he was in the flesh, he needed power. And so in Matthew 4:1, the spirit drove him to the wilderness. And when he entered the wilderness, he entered a 40 days fasting and prayer. When he returned, Luke 4:14 and 15, he said he returned in the power of the spirit. Matthew 4:15, that it might be written, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. The power was there all the while, but it took fasting to activate it. That's why when you fast, it's beyond seeking God for something. When you fast, you are entering the refinery of power. I studied chemistry. The crude oil has many contents, but you need to refine it for the value to come out. There are energy levels where the crude oil becomes products of worth. There's a realm where kerosene comes out. There's a realm where gasoline comes out. There is a realm where what do they call it now? Aviation fuel comes out. All of that are different energy level. And so when God is cooking you in fasting, cooking you in prayer, he is carrying you to the realms of power. It's beyond the answer. It's a place. When they struggled with the demons, Jesus told them, I gave you power before. He said, but this kind, it goeth not but by prayer and fasting. Because there's a level of power you need to carry that will announce you in the demonic realm. Christians are not enjoying the power of the Holy Spirit because they've allowed flesh to be clouded. When you start fasting, what you are doing is to break the weight of flesh so that the weight of glory can come. No fasting, no power. No prayer, no power. The disciples knew. Acts 4, 6:4. We will not give ourselves to tables. We will not give ourselves to tables. He said we'll give ourselves to prayer. To prayer and to the ministry of the word. They knew the secret of power. It's not enough to be with Jesus. There's something you must do for the life of Jesus to be awakened on your inside. Else they will go out telling the whole world, we were the people with Jesus. They will start trying to describe what they were saying when Jesus was moving around, and nobody will know them. But when they gave themselves to prayer and to fasting, they didn't need to tell anybody that we were with Jesus. When they show up, the things that were happening made the people to know that these men were with Christ. Power is a better introduction than a citation you will read. The problem with Christians is that we are trying to use English to introduce ourselves to the world. Jesus never recommended English. He said in Acts 1:8, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. There is something power does to you. And because of how relevant power is, you will pay the price through fasting. The fasting doesn't bring the power, but the fasting activates the power. The power is in the Holy Ghost, but it will take the fasting for the Holy Ghost to be activated. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit
from birth. But Jesus needed 40 days of fasting and prayer for the power of the Holy Ghost to be activated. Power is what gives quality to your existence. If not, your existence will be likened to that of a mediocre. No demon respects you for your certificate. No demon respects you for your eloquence. When you show up, they are looking for the authority that you represent. And so if you know that power substantiates your existence, you will give yourself to what activates it. It's called prayer and fasting. There's no shortcut to power. Why am I bold to tell you this? We are currently on a 40 days fast. Because the power cannot be with the man on the pulpit. No. The usher also needs the power. Yes. The security man needs the power. The protocol needs the power. That's why the fasting is not for the ministers. The fasting is for everybody. As we round up these 40 days of power, you will be shocked what will begin to happen with you. Even the things you say casually will happen. You will talk to people, they will return with testimonies, and you'll be wondering what happened. Some of the testimonies people share, I know when I said those things, there was no faith. I know, but I have to pray because I'm a man of God. I have to pray because they came to me. But power has no regard whether you are tired or not. If the power is there, it must respond. That's why you have to cook yourself, because a day will come where faith may not be present, but power will still be present, because fasting can also rout power. The second thing that activates the power of the Holy Ghost is sacrifice. See, the things we tell you to do is for your benefit. Trust me, if you think it's a lie, stop doing it for a while and see what God wants to do. He will still do it, with or without you. The reason God insists that you participate is for your benefit. Paul was speaking in Philippians chapter 4. He said, I ask you to give that it may be credited to your account. He said, your giving to God is for the crediting of your account, not for me. He said, I need nothing from you. It's the work of God. God will sustain his work. But when God invites you, it's because there is something your sacrifice does to you. He said, he gave his word. He said, great was the company of them that published it. So anybody who participates in advancing the kingdom, greatness becomes natural to him. That's what sacrifice does. When you give your seed, it's a sacrifice. Why is it so? You end it. It took sweat. It took mental property. It took hard work. It took diligence to earn it. And so when you place on the altar what you took labor to earn, God does not see it casually. He sees it as a major sacrifice. Now, because of that sacrifice, something happens to your faith. If that thing doesn't leave you, your faith cannot be activated. The moment you are able to drop it, even before God responds, there is something that happens on your inside. You have crossed the threshold of an average believer. You can now trust God enough to walk on water. And only the man who walks on water sees the miracle. Every other person in the boat will see it, but they will not experience it. It is the man that walks on water that experiences the miracle. And for you to walk on water, you must pay the sacrifice. The Bible said in 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 4, it says Solomon gave 1,000 burnt offering. That night, God didn't wait for tomorrow. He showed up. He said, what do you want? What do you want? Find out from men of power. They will tell you. Their life is perpetual miracles. This year, millions and millions of naira have flown through my account. But I can't tell you there's one there. Everyone that comes goes to the altar. Everyone, for the whole of this year, there's a covenant of not having any savings for sacrifice into the foundation of the work. We are not just praying. We are also making sacrifices. And the sacrifices, you will have nothing to save in this year. Let everything that comes this year go to the foundation. And you think one casual demon can stroll here and say something. No, there's too much on the altar. There's too much on the altar. The moment Isaac leaves, the heavens open. And God will ask you, what do you want? There are many believers, they don't know the way of sacrifice. That's why they don't know the power of the Holy Ghost. When things are happening in your life, people just look at you, they think you are praying. Some even think you are lucky. When spirits are involved, you'll say lucky. Spirit.
And no more sacrifice. And sacrifice in the New Testament is not just what you give.
The Bible said your praise is sacrifice. Hebrews 13 verse 15. It said, let us come and offer the sacrifice of our praise. The reason we talk about God, sing about God, shout about God, beyond glorifying Him, is also a sacrifice in the spirit. Your service in the house of God is a sacrifice. All of that doctors your faith to be able to move in power. But too many believers don't know sacrifice. That's why the devil comes to mess with them. The sacrifice you put on the altar is not what brings the power. The power came in the Holy Ghost. But that sacrifice is what opens your spirit to be able to walk in that power. That's why I didn't say the power is not in you. It said, but the power that worketh in you. The power can be in you, but it's not working. It will take fasting and prayer for the power to work. It will take sacrifice for the power to work. The sacrifice of Jesus brought the power. Your own sacrifice activates it. That's what many believers don't know. They cannot do anything for God. And they are hoping to move the powers of the ages to come. It doesn't work like that. Some even think because they are in church for a long time, power will suddenly start working in their lives. It doesn't work. Ask many old believers, they will tell you. They've been around for long. Power is still story to them. I pray for somebody today. That thing God is telling you to begin to do that you are struggling with, that has hindered the move of power in your life, receive grace to start doing it. Yeah. Number three, how do you activate the power of the Holy Ghost? Faith.
John 11 verse 40. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Nothing activates power like faith. The moment a man can believe, glory appears. When Jesus was going to the house of Jairus, news came immediately. Trouble not the master. The child is dead. Jesus turned quickly. Mark 5:36. Fear not. Only believe. Everywhere there is faith, there is power. If you want to know the address of power, look for faith. The moment you find faith, power will manifest. Because faith is the precursor for the power of the Holy Ghost. Every spirit wants to be believed. The moment you are able to believe a spirit, the supernatural is activated. He said to Peter, come. It was when he responded that he started walking on water. There are many persons that we never believe and act on what God says. If you pray without believing, there will be no power. In Mark 11:24, he said, when you pray, when you ask, he said, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So you don't have it when you pray. You have it when you believe. You can be praying and not believing. You won't see power. The power comes when faith is activated. Because through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. The faith is the doing part of the reality. And so many Christians have not faith. And the reason is because the word of God is scanty in their spirit. This is why we teach what we teach. So when you understand, faith will be born. It's a faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. This is why you should never be tired of the word of God. Because what we are hearing is not to increase knowledge, it's to increase faith. You are not hearing the word of God to increase knowledge. You are hearing the word of God to increase faith. Because faith is the answer. And so a man that we see the supernatural power of God is a man that understands faith, is a man that walks in faith. And the good news this evening is Romans chapter 12 verse 3. It says, unto every one of us is dealt the measure of faith. That means the faith you need, you already have. So as you hear the word of God and the word tells you, respond. Your job now is not to try to believe. You are already a believer. Your job now is to respond to the word of God. And so if they say stand up and walk, and you can't walk, get up. Don't try to believe. You already believe. That's why you are called a believer. And the Bible said the faith you need has already been given. What you need now is response to the word. As you respond, you will now see the supernatural. Don't try to contemplate the supernatural. You will not know how it will happen. It's called the mystery of faith. Nobody knows how it happens, but it happens all the same. He said, as thou knowest not how the bone is formed in the womb of her that is with child, that is how you do not know the ways of the spirit. So if you are thinking to know how it will happen, you will never know it. You have believed, now respond. When the word comes in your direction, respond. You can hear it from the altar and you can hear it in your spirit. I was preaching the other time, and a brother just was moved and said, I was preaching about, what was I even talking about? Something else. And suddenly, a word rose up in his spirit to go give to orphans. And the next day, he rushed and gave. What he gave was nothing, in all honesty. But what came out of what he gave was unbelievable. Because when you respond to the word, the provisions of the word are delivered unto you. The power of the Holy Ghost is at the mercy of your faith. The moment your faith is activated, power begins to work. People see us and think we are powerful people. No, we are not. We just know powerful secrets. I know that when I fast, even if I'm not feeling anything, I'm generating power. So I can fast for 120 days and see nothing. I have fasted before for 6 months and I had no encounter. But I knew I was not the same. The moment I'm done fasting, I begin to dare things. Because I'm testing to know how much power I came out with. I know that as I'm fasting, power is being generated. So when I fast for 7 days, I go out to test it. The things I've not been able to see before, I start daring them. When I fast for 14 days, I can call somebody and tell him, by this time tomorrow, something will happen. I've never tried it before, but I've gone to the realm of power. And so I want to check how much I came out with. When I finish certain kinds of fasting, I deliberately go to look for terminal infirmities to pray for. Sometimes when I'm done fasting and I enter a meeting, I make declarations I've never made. I fasted the other time and I went for a meeting in Osaka. And the moment I entered the meeting, I now remembered Pastor Chris said in 1980, he came for a meeting, he didn't pray. He said, everybody who is sick, stand up. They stood up, he said, you are healed. The people say, what? He said, I say, you are healed. Come out and testify. Ah. They now dropped crutches and started coming. Ah. They saw that they were healed. That thing was story in my head until I went to Osaka. When I finished fasting, I was thinking of what to do. I'm trying to check this power. And I now remember the story. So when I came for the meeting, I said, everybody who is sick, stand up. People stood up. I said, you are all healed. I said, what do you mean? I said, you are all healed. Check your body now. When they checked, the first person that testified was deafness. A deaf ear had opened. I said, okay. So the way this man did it is not because he's special. He did it because he knew something. I moved the fasting to 40 days. The fasting finished, I moved it to 120. And so now when I come for, that's why I can tell you that I can move in the power of God any day, anytime. It's not boast, it's what I know. And I've seen it work in the lives of those who know it. If I come out of 40 days fast and I stand here, I don't need a song. I can say, Lord, touch now, it will happen. I can cause infirmity to happen. Not because I'm feeling anything, but I know how power works. Every time you fast, you return in the power of the Spirit. It is power, it is fasting that makes you return in the power of the Spirit. This is what the elders of old know. And that's why they do what they do. And sometimes when they are doing it, they don't see anything, but they know something is happening. Because they have found the secret in Scripture. If I do certain sacrifices, I know my faith is flying. Anything I say, if I'm able to give God 10 million, is it headache I'll be afraid of praying for? If I believe God enough to drop 10 million, is it blindness I'll be afraid of praying for? You know what it will cost you to arrive there.
And you are able, not because you are equating the miracle to the money, but to you, it takes a lot of faith. Do you know how much faith it takes to get 10 million? If my faith is able to conquer 10 million and I drop it, I won't be afraid of going out and preaching to the sick. No, I won't be afraid. If I have enough faith to do that, because that money is more real to me. If I'm able to part way with that money that is more real to me, I will not be afraid of the supernatural, because it takes faith in God to be able to do that. So the sacrifice makes your faith to go wild. Wild. That's why when you see great men of faith, they are great men of sacrifice. Some of them can put their lives to jeopardy. They know that this God can save them. They are the channels of awakening and activating power. Number one is fasting and prayer. Number two is sacrifice. Number three is faith. And finally, number four is ordination. If God shows you your ordination, there is a power invested in that ordination that you can begin to draw. When he told Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, he said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you to be a prophet. And he didn't just call him a prophet. He said to uproot and to plant. So the moment Jeremiah knew his ordination, the authority to uproot and plant was activated. And so if Jeremiah comes out of that encounter, he doesn't need a fasting to look at an evil person and say, I uproot you. Because that power is credited to his ordination. Hope you know Mary didn't do any fasting. It was her ordination to bet the Christ. He said, thou Mary, highly favored, the Lord is with thee. And he told her she will bear the Messiah. He said, how shall these things be? He didn't say it will take fasting. He didn't say it will take prayer. He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Why? Because you are choosing. Ordination is God's choice over a man's life. And so when you find out that this thing is in your ordination, there is a power that is unlocked immediately. And the good news tonight is, Mary is not the only one choosing. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, he says you are a chosen generation. And so every one of us sitting here, there is an ordination on our head. He says you are a royal priesthood. So there is royalty in your life. And he said, where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? So the fourth way to activate the power of the Holy Ghost is to know that you are God's choice. And so if I come into a city and I know God sent me here as an apostle, I begin to talk from the rank of an apostle. Sometimes you don't pray. Sometimes you don't fast. Brother, this thing is not easy. There are times when you come for the meeting tired. I told my host yesterday, after preaching back to back for 3 days and did the afternoon session, the afternoon session finished by 2 o'clock. They told me evening session starts by 4, because we needed to finish by 6 for me to rest and catch my flight. I went and slept. I told him, I'm tired, I need to sleep. I'm tired of praying, I need to sleep. I went and slept. When my phone rang by 4:30, I told him, I'm just waking up. I woke up, went, took my shower, and went for the meeting. I said, Lord, have mercy. You sent me here. I didn't send myself. You sent me here. No prayer, no fasting, but ordination was speaking. I went there as an apostle. And when I come in the authority of my office, demons know. And so when I was done teaching, I said, deaf ears, open. Blind eyes, open. A lady ran out and said, I had a cyst. There's a growth. And it's been there since I was in Form 8. Suddenly, growth vanished. I didn't pray. I came as an apostle. That's why many times when Paul writes, he said, we are teachers and apostles of Christ, because he's invoking the powers of ordination. Did you not read Paul's writing to Rome? He didn't write to Rome as a scholar. He wrote to Rome as an apostle. Did you read his writing to Galatia? He wanted to challenge the legalist. And he know, it will not be revelation that will challenge them. It's an apostolic authority. And so when he wrote to them, he said, it's Apostle Paul that is writing. He was invoking the powers of ordination. And everyone sitting here, there's an ordination on your life. That's why it is inherent upon you for the power of the Holy Ghost to walk in your life. He said, you are a chosen generation. There are many generations, but you are choosing. You are a royal priesthood.
You are God's special people. And you were not just called with a title. He said to showcase the excellencies of God. Do you know the excellencies of God? It's for blind eyes to open. It's for deaf ears to open. It's for things to multiply. It's for the dead to come back to life. And so you were called to showcase the power of the Holy Ghost. And so the day you became a Christian, that day you were inaugurated into power. It's called ordination. But many are not aware. Are you aware that you are a prophet? Are you aware that you are an apostle? Are you aware that you are God's agent in the political corridor? Are you aware that you are an economic apostle? See, if you know you are an economic apostle, when you are doing business, you tell yourself, this business must succeed because it's my ordination to be wealthy. It's my ordination to be wealthy and to sponsor the kingdom. And so businesses can fail. Even if it's failing and I become a part of it, it must work because it's my ordination. Nothing fails with me. I am called to handle wealth. And because you are called to handle wealth, you know that whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. This is the confidence that men carry who know who they are in Christ. Me, I know I'm an apostle. That's why I'm not afraid of demons. When I enter a city, I tell the demons, the prince just landed. If you know what is good for you, don't come around. Sometimes when I'm preaching, and I become intoxicated, I will stand. Sometimes it makes you stagger. You are drunk about who you are in Christ, and then you stand. Sometimes it moves you, and then you begin to address the princes. I was in Sierra Leone, and as I was preaching, something woke up in me, and he told me, you are an apostle to the nations. You are a revivalist of the last days. You are a voice in the generation. As I heard it in my spirit, I say, I judge the serpent in the belly of the sea. Things began to happen. Then I was awoke. I woke up. A voice to the nations can't be cut off. No. Ordination refuses it. Did you not read about Simeon? He wasn't praying to survive. He was alive because of ordination. Simeon could not die. When Jesus was born, he said, now I can die in peace. That means the guy wanted to die, but ordination won't let him die. Even if a plane crash, we will survive. Because our script is still being read. There are angels reading our script. What we are doing is a story. Some scribes were sent from heaven to write it. Even if you envy, it can't stop it. Ordinations are at work. It's a power in the spirit. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Why do you think the bear could not eat David? How can you eat the king of Israel? Are you not aware that David is the one to kill Goliath? So the bear could not eat David. The lion could not eat David. There was no record that David used a weapon against the lion. He said, I heard it by the mouth and I tore it open. Do you know what a bear is? If a bear slapped you, you will faint. But not when you are a king of Israel. And so ordination becomes an insurance. That's why when he was going to fight Goliath, Saul gave him his armory. He said, this is not my kind of weapon. This is not my kind of weapon. I fight with the powers of ordination. And when he came before Goliath, he said, you came before me with a spear, with bows and with arrow. He said, but I come before you with the God of Israel, whose covenant you have defied, whose army you have defied. And he said, today, on the strength of ordination, you will go down and I will cut off your head. It was Goliath's spear that David used. Because when you have ordination, anything you carry is a weapon. When you talk is a weapon. When you sing is a weapon. When you dance is a weapon. Ordinations will be at work. Men of ordination don't die. And that's why God gave every one of us an ordination. You are not ordinary. You have a place in God. And that place necessitates for power to defend and to preserve it. Oh! Ah! Ah! Hey, ah! Hey. Imagine if the devil wanted to kill Mary before she became pregnant. Imagine that the devil will kill Mary when she was pregnant with Jesus. Ordinations will not allow. Because of that ordination, she is now the mother of Christ. If you kill her, you kill salvation. And so she can no longer die because she becomes the mother of salvation. That's how ordinations work. Every one of you here, you were called for a purpose. You were chosen for a purpose. And because of that calling, there is a power that attends to you. Did you not read Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9? It says, are they not ministering spirits sent to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Even angels are deployed to serve you because of your ordination. So when you are not yet wise, ordination will keep you. Ordination. Those days when we were very small, you know what we used to do? We will go to the river. If they catch you, go to the river, you will die. In fact, there were witches, especially during December. People must be drowned. I was in Katsina Laden. From September to December, every parent will warn the child. Don't dare. If they catch you, go to the river, you are finished. In fact, every other day, you must hear news that a child was drowned. And many were drowned. You know what we will do? We will sneak and go to the river. When we go to the river, we will now hide our clothes. So that in case people from the neighborhood come, they will recognize our clothes and say we came to the river. Because if they see, they will go and report. We will hide our clothes in the bush and go and swim. When we finish swimming, we will buy akara. Squeeze the palm oil. It almost damaged my skin. We will use palm oil on our body. And then we will go and play football. Because when you swim like that, your eyes become red. We will now play football for our skin to look normal. Then we will come home in the evening as if nothing happened. That was those were the days when we should die. Sometimes the water is carrying you, then something will draw you back. Something. You can't die here. There are nations waiting to hear your voice. Because of your foolishness, you can't die. And so even when we should be drowned, the powers of ordination will be awoken. I should have drowned many times, but there was an invincible finger. Ordinations. There were times when our friends will swim across the water to go and steal sugarcane. And when they know that you are in the farm, they will come with spears. They will run with sugarcane and enter the water and swim back. Those were the days when we should have perished. But ordination say no. Ordination say no. It says no. I speak over you tonight. You shall not die. You shall not die. You shall not die. You shall live to proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Ah, even when we were foolish, ordination kept us. Is it now that God has helped us that we will go down? I prophesy over you. Everything threatening your existence, they are uprooted tonight. I tell you, if not for ordination, some of us would have died. Oh my God. We grow up stubborn. Those days we will pursue pickups and climb them. When they are moving on high speed, we'll now jump down. There was a day I jumped and I fell on my face. How my ribs didn't crack. Only ordination can tell. Because God saw. Did you not see what Joseph told his brothers? He said, you meant it for evil. He said, but God meant it for good. They threw him into a pit. He couldn't die. They threw him into prison. He couldn't die. Ordinations will insist. And in Psalm 105 verse 17, he said they sent a man before them. Even Joseph, whom they sold He said his feet was bound in fetters. He said until the time that his word came. He said the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance. He gave him power to bind his princes as his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. Because he was a teacher of senators, he couldn't die in a pit. If Joseph died, the world would have died of famine. Because it was Joseph's wisdom that preserved the world. Your ordination is a key to activating the power of the Holy Ghost. And now, because everyone here is the carrier of an ordination, I speak over you. Every sickness threatening your existence, I command them to go now. Every attack on your life and destiny, I command them to go now. Every demonic program on your life, I cancel them now. In the name of Jesus, I decree over you, every limitation you have suffered until now, they are hereby canceled. I open the door of establishment, marital establishment, ministry establishment, financial establishment, business establishment. In the name of Jesus, I decree over you now, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. In the name of Jesus. They are threatening you on your job. Hear the word of the Lord. You are bigger than that job. Your destiny cannot be sponsored by salary. And so I decree now, let a new dimension of your ordination open to you. In the name of Jesus. They are threatening you in that business. They said the business will fail. I came to announce to you, the power to sustain that business is in your spirit. Because that business is a platform for fulfilling ordination. And so I decree by the Holy Ghost, let that business prosper now. In the name of Jesus. They told you will die. I came to give you a verdict from the mountains of God. You will not die, but proclaim the goodness of the Lord. I decree over you, every sickness reducing the quality of your life, they go down now. Ear conditions, eye conditions, organ conditions, blood conditions, be healed now in the name of Jesus. My God. My God. There's a shift in the spirit. There's a shift in the spirit. Angels are ministering now. They bring you grace. They bring you empowerment. They open dimensions to you. Every realm you need to touch in order to fulfill destiny. Step into those realms now. Step into those realms now. Step into those realms now. The power of God is coming on people. Usher, help them. Usher, help them. Step into those realms now. Step into those realms now. I release that gate. I command the door open. Maratha, Merakaya, Jabana, Jabana. There are seven people coming on that intense anointing. Receive that fire. Receive that fire. Receive that fire. Receive that fire. The power to handle well. The power to rule over demons. Receive that power now. Mayata. Yeah. Every blessing pending. Every blessing limited. I cause that limitation. I command the door. Open. Aya. Veranina Halagata. Shabana. Shabba. Veranadata. Salash. Step into realms of power. demonic programs are being altered now. Programs of limitation, programs of reproach, programs of debt, programs of barrenness. In the name of Jesus, now I cancel those programs. He said he lifted the beggar from the dust. He lifted the weak from the dunghill. He establishes them among princes that they may inherit thrones. My God, receive your crown now. Receive your rulership scepter now. In the name of Jesus. Ah, our time is gone. Our time. I'm seeing a river. A water flowing like a river. And men are being carried into dimensions of power, dimensions of grace, dimensions of glory. Everyone that river is carrying now, I come to you in the spirit and in the power of Elijah, and I decree, step into that realm now. Let that fire engulf you. Let that river overtake you. I come in the spirit of Ezekiel. I decree now, let the waters begin to ascend. Help them on the gallery by the power of the Holy Ghost. Marash Devabaka, Zanila Hada, on ground, on land, step into new dimensions, realms of power, realms of glory. My God, I hear in the spirit, my God, everybody here whose marital destiny is under attack by demonic programming, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. By this time next year, you are not just married, but you are pregnant in your husband's house. I decree that the paradigm shift in your favor. I curse that program and I decree your settlement. Next year you will be celebrated. Not just that you are married, but that you are fruitful. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Ah, my God. I'm seeing a prophetic water. Somebody is drinking from a fountain. It's a prophetic river. You will not just prophesy, but your life will take up a prophetic dimension. Everything happening about your life will become prophetic. In the name of Jesus, whoever that one is, step into that grace now. Step in now. Hallelujah. 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 Is about to become a song. They will sing your name in the nations because of the impact that your life will command. I decree over you, step into a realm of greatness that is a wonder to your generation. Step into a realm of greatness that is a wonder to your generation. I change your story by the Spirit. I decree now, by the power of the prophetic and the apostolic, your name becomes a song in the mouth of your generation. Step into that order now.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall abide forever. Everything God is doing with you, and everything God is starting with you today, it will abide forever. It will not be like a star that will shoot and vanish. It will abide forever. And it will be transferred as a legacy from generation to generation. In the name of Jesus, I proclaim over you tonight, become a joy of many generations. Thank you, Father. Both of you, dear, stretch your hands in my direction. Now, there is a power that is coming upon you. Take that power now. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Lift your hands and honor Him. We are out of time. Lift your hands and honor Him. Your life will never be the same again. Supernatural manifestations are littered across the path of your destiny. You had a testimony. You thought you have seen the hand of God. Now you will see the face of God. 1,000 times greater than all God has done before, He will do now. And this year will not end until you are celebrated. So let it be written. So let it be established. Some of you here, you think you are not the one. You will be shocked at the visitation of God. It is established in Jesus' precious name. Ah, can you celebrate Jesus? We are out of time, so we can't take testimonies. But how many of you noticed a change in your body? You noticed a change. Either a healing or something happened to you. Either a healing or something happened to you. You noticed something tangible. How many of you had an experience? Look at that. Give the Lord the praise. Everything God has done tonight will abide forever. Thank you, Lord. Those of you who noticed the change, can you wave one more time? I want you to come to the altar. Just step on the altar. I'm not taking any testimony. But stand here, let it be established. Quickly, quickly. Those who have received healings or a touch from God, quickly, quickly, stand on the altar. Let it be established. Stand on the altar. Help Mama. Let her sit down. Just help her to sit. Look at the number of people the Lord has touched. We will take your testimony at the end of the service and share it in the next service. Stand on the altar. Let's have Brother Chinekwe quickly end the service. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. See those the Lord has touched. Is that how you celebrate Jesus? See the number of persons touched. If we take these testimonies, you will be shocked. What you will hear will shock you. A miracle service for nothing. See those God just touched tonight. Is that how you celebrate Jesus? Encounter Jesus ministries. Give the Lord a shout. If I were to take these testimonies, you will hear things, but we don't have the time. Two things. I decree everything God has done tonight is established in the name of Jesus. And we can't take testimonies now. At the end of the service, you can meet Pastor Kings and Pastor Sonny and just document what God has done. They may call a few of you next week to testify, or they may read it out. But for tonight, our time is fast spent. Can you stretch your hands and pray for them? Pray for them and thank God for them. You don't know what people go through. A young lady met me in Kenya yesterday. There was a lump, an ovarian cyst that creates every month she must go through pain for 2 weeks.
every month. Our own menstrual cycle takes 2 weeks. Pains. If you are not taught, you will not know what God has done. We decree that everything you suffered, you are not just delivered from it, but you will begin to engender deliverance for others. In the name of Jesus. So let it be established. In Jesus' name. Your testimonies will create more and more testimonies. From 1 to 5, from 5 to 25. It will keep growing. And your life will become a stream of the miraculous. In Jesus' precious name. Can you just go? That place is narrow. Can they take it? Alright. So you just come speak to Pastor Kings. God bless you richly. Let's receive Brother Chinekwe. In 2 minutes we are out.
You were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.